Over 70 people, I guess, have joined us. Just let me make some minor adjustments here for a moment. Good. I too have a thought for the new year. It's not my message, so, but turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And I appreciate any thoughts about the new year. And a lot of people make New Year's resolutions or promises, or they try to do something. I want to read from Luke chapter 9 in sort of in that context that people were hoping to do something. And then I'll make a comment about it. Verse 57, right at the end of Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, that would be Jesus in the context, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first and go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Three people all said they wanted to follow the Lord. That's a good New Year's resolution. This year, I am going to follow the Lord. That'd be a great New Year's resolution. However, if you noticed in the reading, they all had something else they had to do first. Well, reality of this is, they all said they wanted to follow the Lord. They all had something else to do first. And the reality is, we don't read that any of them followed the Lord. Jesus moves along to chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70, and they followed the Lord. But these three had in their own minds legitimate excuses when it came to following the Lord. Well, the Lord Jesus wants to be first, not second or third or get the leftovers, but he wants to be first. My admonition to you is you can't just say it. You got to do it. So the Lord help you and help me to put him first this year. Now, you probably didn't know this, but in the 1950s and the 1960s, Israel planted 1.2 million, are you ready for this? Landmines. Yes, landmines. That is a little device. I don't know how small or big theirs are, but something like this. And it goes in the ground and you cover it up, except there's a small little thing that sticks up like this. You can hardly see it. And if you step on that, at least one leg, maybe both legs, maybe your life is gone. Landmines. That's the problem. So 1.2 million of these in the 1950s and 60s, and they contaminated 50,000 acres of land in the Golan Heights and along the Jordan River. Now, if any of you have been to Israel, you may have noticed this. I certainly did. We were over near the West Bank, and I didn't know how many at the time, but there are 300 100,000 of these landmines that contaminate, and I'm going to use that word, contaminate about 5,000 acres of agricultural land and residential land in the West Bank. Now, can you imagine you're driving along, or in our case, we were in a bus, and you drive along and you stop on this road and there's a fence. And about every 20 feet along this fence is a sign. You know what that sign says? Danger, landmines. And you look out there and you go, I don't see anything. I'm seeing landmines. That's the point. They are there. You just can't see them. Could you imagine anyone so stupid as to say, well, I don't see any landmines. I think I'm just going to go out there. Why don't I run out there, Leroy, and you take a picture of me while I'm out there? You know, I think this would be great. And so this not so smart guy jumps the fence and he gets about maybe 10, 15 feet. Kaboom! Did you get that picture, Leroy? You go, wow. Now, that's kind of joking about something that's very serious. Would you, if you came to a fence and you saw signs every 20 feet that said, danger, landmines, do you think you would jump the fence and go in? Listen, you all look like smart people to me. I don't think you would do that. Well, now, last week we started by giving you some caution flags and lights blinking and buzzers going off and signs and everything, you know, warning in the scriptures. God's got some signs and it said, danger, don't jump the fence, don't do this, don't do that. Be very, very careful what you're doing. And you know, some people say, it's just the Bible. Who cares about that? Come on, we can all do this. Come on, jump over the fence with me. Don't do it. Don't do it. And if you remember from last week, 135 times in your New Testament, we get the word, take heed. Take heed. Take heed means what? Look, stop, listen, evaluate, give special attention, turn your attention from everything else and focus right on this. God is saying this is very, very important. You better listen to what I'm saying. In the context of Matthew chapter 24, we're not turning there, it's okay, about the Lord Jesus' return, he says these words, take heed that no man deceive you. Guess who's the father of deception? Yeah. Guess who deceived the first man and woman on earth? Well, he's got workers, demons, helpers, and there's also, I don't even like to think about this, but there are some people that are so wicked, so bad. I mean, everybody's bad. There's some really bad guys, okay, that they like to do the devil's work. They like to preach things that the Bible says is false. They like to teach things that are not right. They are false teaching. They like to draw men to themselves. They like to take over and have influence and have power. Take heed that nobody deceives you. And in 2021, I'd like to think about it this way. And we're going to look at some of these take heed things, but I'd like to look at it this way. How could I prepare to meet God in 2021? Yeah, you heard me. How can I prepare to meet God in 2021? You say, well, I'm not planning on meeting God. Thank you very much. I don't even believe in God. Well, it wouldn't be anybody here like that, but you might know somebody like that. And just let me remind you that, you know, I saw a t-shirt one time that, you know, people wear t-shirts with things on them all the time, you know. And I saw a t-shirt one time that says, God doesn't believe in atheists. You'll get that in a little bit. Just think about that one. Okay. But there are people that say, I don't believe in God, and that settles it. Well, it really doesn't settle anything. It just means they have an opinion. Their opinion is not necessarily the truth of anything. Okay. But the Bible says, are you ready? The Bible says you have an unbreakable appointment with God. Yeah. You will meet him. You will meet him. And matter of fact, Amos tells us like this, prepare to meet your God. Prepare. So I'm just wondering, what could you possibly do in 2021 to prepare to meet God? So for these, I don't know, next few Sundays, we want to think about this. How to prepare to meet God. Now, I met a pastor of a local church when I was first a Christian, and in Birmingham, Alabama. And he told me his story of how he was converted, how he met Jesus Christ as his own personal savior. He was a pilot in the military, in the Navy, I believe. And he was doing some maneuvers, and he took a little bit of liberty to fly a little bit out of his zone. And there was another group of military personnel, I believe they were Army, and they had an air base, and he kind of made one of these, you know, burst the sound barrier, broke the sound barrier thing, kind of over their warehouse, rattled their windows, you know, having a little bit of Army, Navy fun kind of stuff. Well, somebody had enough liberty, they got in an aircraft, and they decided to chase him around. Now, nobody had, you know, weapons or anything like that, but they were doing these maneuvers, trying to figure out who could fly the best or something like that. And so in the course of having this assimilated dogfight to see who would win, the fellow in the Army plane lost control of his plane, crashed, and died. Oh, you can only imagine how this fellow felt about that. He thought it was all in fun. And so he decided the only thing he could do was to surrender his life to God. Now, he's not a Christian. He doesn't know the Lord. But he is so taken, so grieved with what he had done, that he thought, I must spend my life in service for God in order to pay for this sin that I had done. And so he ends up in seminary. He's going to seminary. He's going to be a preacher. And nothing has changed in his heart. He doesn't belong to the Lord. It's all up here. It's kind of a penance, but it's not real. Okay. And so in his second year of seminary, he's still trying to be a good boy, but on the weekends doing a little bit of partying. And he had one too many to drink one night, and he left the party, and he's driving home, and he lost control of his car. And his car rolled over in a ditch a couple of times, landed back on the ground on the wheels, and the lights shone up on the road, and there was a gospel text on that road, a sign. You know what that sign said? Prepare to meet your God. Well, my friend said he got saved that night, that he trusted the Lord that night. And God He's retired now, but God used that man in an unparalleled way in the city of Birmingham, Alabama. It's another story for another time. But I guess, does it have to be that dramatic for you? Some years ago, my wife's father, who had left the home, and she hadn't seen her father in over 30 years, was dying with cancer and wanted to see the family. My wife has a sister. And so we went down to see this guy who was dying. I didn't know him at all, never met him before. The two girls hadn't seen him in over 30 years. And we walked into this apartment, and here's an old man, and he's dying with cancer. And he just put his head in his hands like this, and he just wept uncontrollably. He said, "I've wasted the last 35 years of my life." I said, "Well, you don't have to waste anymore." I said, "We're glad to be here, glad to meet you." And we began to talk about the Lord Jesus to him. And he was not interested. And my wife's sister said, "You know, you need help and you need to go to the hospital." He was in bad shape. And he said, no, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything." And she said, "Well, if you won't prepare for your life on earth, will you please prepare for your life in the next world?" To our knowledge, he made no such preparation. But we need to prepare. You're going to meet God. You are going to meet the Lord, whether you like it or not. And you get to choose how you meet him. Wouldn't it be nice you can meet him as your friend, your savior, you know, the one who died for you, buried for you, rose for you, coming again? Wouldn't it be nice to say, "Oh, finally, Lord Jesus, I'm getting to meet you in the flesh. I'm seeing you. I trusted you all these years ago, and there you are." You're going to meet him. But if you say, "Well, I'm not planning on meeting him," it doesn't matter if you're planning on it or not. You are going to meet him. But you won't meet him as your savior. Because you see, you get to do that when you're alive and on earth. It's appointed unto man once to die. You will die unless the Lord Jesus comes for his own. You will die and you will meet God, for it is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. You're going to meet him. You will meet him. So I'm saying, let's think about how are we going to prepare in 2021 to meet God. The chances are, what would I know? I'm just from Mississippi. I mean, I think he'll probably come this year. I don't know when he's going to come. Well, I'm planning on it. I'm planning to meet him. I'm planning to be prepared for him when he comes, you know? And so I'm going to ask you that question. Would you prepare to meet God this year? Now, first, we're going to look at two texts simultaneously, okay? So if you have a Bible, it's Luke chapter 8, and then it's going to be Mark chapter 4, Luke 8 and Mark 4. Now, just because I don't have enough fingers, we could look at it in Matthew because he covers it too, but we're just going to stick with these two. So we're thinking about, don't let anybody deceive you. We're thinking about, how can I prepare to meet God in 2021? Okay. Remember our warning signs? You got those? You remember those way back in the introduction? Danger, landmines, okay? Our warning sign, take heed. Special attention, pay close attention. Just at the beginning, just two verses, okay? Doesn't matter. Let's go to Luke first. You're in Luke 8. Okay. Now, in Luke chapter 8, notice verse number 18, 1-8, Luke 8 and 18. And our warning words are here. Notice it. Therefore, take heed. There it is. Bells, lights, sounds, flags, everything. Be very, very careful how you hear. That's all I want to read. Be very, very careful how you hear. Okay, hold your hand there. Now we're going back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 24. Verse 24. Then he said to them, here's your caution flags flying. Take heed what you hear. Got it? Take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. Now, in both of those contexts, Jesus is telling a story. You know, if you like stories, you need to read the Gospels. John does so many stories in the Gospels. Jesus is the master storyteller. And parables, as we know them, are just stories. Someone says a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I go, wow, that's kind of neat. I like that. And so Jesus is telling stories that are called parables. And in Mark 4 and in Luke 8, he's telling the same one. And the story is about a farmer. And in the days when the Lord Jesus lived, they didn't have John Deere tractors, you know, or anything like that. They didn't have equipment. As a matter of fact, they probably, if they were fortunate, they might have an ox and they might have some kind of a crude plow of some kind, okay? But they didn't have too much. Most of the farming was done by, when I say by hand, I mean by hand, like this. You might could get a stick or something pointed and maybe a kind of a shovel and dig around, but that was about it. So Jesus said, let me tell you a story. A farmer went out into his field. He reached down into a bag of seed that he had and he throws it around. That's what he's doing. That's broadcasting, they call that. He walks down the field and he throws the seed out. And so Jesus tells that story. Now, in the story that he tells, both in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, those are the three accounts, he says that as the man threw the seed out, the seed landed on four different types of ground or soil. And consequently, four different things happened to the seed that he threw on the ground. Well, the disciples were kind of wondering about that, and they asked him, you know, what's this all about? And he said, well, I'll tell you. I'll give you the interpretation of the parable. And so let's just, if you're in Mark still, let's just read in Mark chapter 14 for a minute. He said, the sower sows the seed, and the seed is the word of God. So he's making application now. Now watch up. Let me show you something. I'm a farmer this morning. Yeah, kind of a spiritual farmer, a virtual farmer. Okay. I got a Bible here. Okay. I got my Bible right here. And so I'm reaching into the bag, the Bible, and guess what I'm doing? I got all these people who are just putting some seeds out right there in every one of those little slots right there. So Jesus said, the farmer goes out to sow his seed, and a seed is the word of God. Verse 15, these are the ones by the wayside, he says, where the word of God is sown. Okay, wayside, get that. Notice this little phrase, when they hear. Okay, you see, in the application of sowing physical seed into physical ground, Jesus said, the word of God is what I'm sowing, and the way I get it into the ground, which is your heart, I take it, put it right in the ear, put it right here. The seed comes right in here. And so he says, those by the wayside, that was a path around the field. They are the people that when they hear the word, a bird comes along. You know what his name is? Satan. And he takes the seed, right, didn't go anywhere. It's just laying right there on the ear because the Bible says this is hard soil, packed soil, pathway, wayside. And the devil comes and says, excuse me, I got it. And he takes the word of God that I'm just talking to you about right now, and he takes it away, and you just forget it. Gone, just like that. Don't even remember it anymore. Verse 16, then there are the ones where the seed, the word of God, is sown on stony ground, rocky soil, gravel pit kind of stuff. Notice verse 6, when they hear, what happens when they hear? So here's the word, comes right to the ear. Immediately they say, oh, that is so nice. That's really good. They receive it with joy. Notice they have no roots in themselves. And so only endure for a little time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble or they wither, I think Luke's account says. Now here's two so far. One, seed didn't get very far, just kind of right there, got it, gone, forgot it. Now the other is, oh, this is kind of nice. I think I'd like to get into this. So they hear the word of God and they kind of happy about the whole thing. But then, I didn't know it was going to be hard. I didn't realize it was going to be like that. And Luke and Matthew talks about the hot sun comes out and things are not good and they got no roots. They just got a little bit of stuff on the top and all of a sudden they wilt and they fall and they wither and nothing, zero. Notice in verse 18, there are other ones that are sown among the thorns. And it says when they hear the word, every one of them hear the word. You got it? They all hear it. When they hear the word, notice what happens in verse 19. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and they choke the seed, the word of God, and it brings no fruit, unfruitful. One guy's laying right there, Satan's got it, no problem. The other guy says, I'd like to get that's a nice club to join. I'd really like this. I didn't know it was going to be that hard. Sorry, I'm not into this. And then now the seed falls in, comes through an ear, falls among the thorns. So far, we got some interesting word. By the wayside, interesting. On the rock, interesting. Among the thorns, we're talking about. So what happens here? Someone hears the gospel, they hear the word of God, and they go, well, this is not that bad, I guess. And so they said, maybe I'll try that for a while. And now they got the deceitfulness of riches. They've got desire for other things and the cares of this world. In other words, I don't have time for this stuff. It sounded okay, but all of that other stuff just kind of acted like bad weeds and choked the good stuff. Nothing, never had any fruit. But then the last person, verse 20, the ones on the good ground, notice they hear too, everybody hears it. They hear the word and notice verse 20, they accepted it. Oh, the other ones didn't accept it. Devil got one. The son got the other one. The cares and the riches of this world got the other one. None of them accepted it. They just pretended at best. But then notice these people accepted it and they bore fruit and there was 30 and 60 and some 100-fold. Now, what's the key? Look at verse 24. Take heed what you hear. That's the key. That's the key. What did we read in Luke? Be careful how you hear. Dear friends, if you are preparing to meet God in 2021, you're going to have to meet God on his conditions. You don't make it up. You don't say, well, I'll tell you how I'm going to meet God. No, that's not the way that goes. God says, I have a wonderful plan for your life. I created you. I designed you. I've made you for my glory. And I got a wonderful plan for your life. But you're going to have to listen to me. You're going to have to agree to my plan. And first of all, God's going to tell you that like Adam and Eve in the garden, you have sinned as well. And sin is passed on from Adam and Eve to you. And that the whole world lies in sin. And the whole world is separated from God because of sin. And the wages of sin is death. And the soul that sins must die. And we all are sinners and we all come short of the glory of God. This isn't what the Bible says. Like, letting you know that if you got a heart and you got a brain, you know this, what I'm telling you. You got a conscience. Your conscience tells you something is not right. Well, I tell you what it is. The Lord wants to be in your life. The Lord wants to be your, are you listening, Savior. He came for you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you to forgive you of your sins, to give you life, not just existence on earth, not just get up, go to work, go to bed, watch a movie, whatever you, just like, oh, life's more than this. He's got a wonderful life, an abundant life for you. But you got to meet God on his condition. So Jesus came. God sent his son Jesus to come into the world to die for your sins. Wages of sin is death, the Bible says, separation from God. And who dies? Jesus dies. He takes your place. He pays the penalty of sin for you. This is God's way. Now, here I am, a preacher of the gospel. And I come along, guess what I'm doing? I'm just throwing this out today. I have no control on how you hear it. None. Zero. My job is to tell you, spread the gospel. The warning flags today is be careful what you hear and be careful how you hear it. You know why I can tell you that? Because the way you hear the word of God and either allow or disallow the word of God to come into your heart is going to determine your eternal destiny. Faith cometh by, are you listening? Hearing the word of God. You say, well, I don't have any faith. Listen. Listen to the Bible. Listen to the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now, God has a plan. God is right. God is gracious. God is love. God is forgiving. God is all these wonderful things that you hope God is. He is, but he's also just. And he's also a judge. And he wouldn't be a good judge if he didn't punish sin. And he's got to punish sin. And so God punishes his son, the Lord Jesus. And he says, you trust my son. He paid your debt. He's paid for your sins. He took your sins on him, and I treated him like he was you. No wonder Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus became sin for us. And sin separates from God. But God raised him from the dead on the third day. And dear friend, if you are going to prepare to meet God in 2021, you can't skip first base. This is like first base. You can't say, well, go along, what's point two? No, it doesn't matter. Does not matter what point two. This is like A, and God has no plan B. This is like one, and there is no two. This is like the Bible says, Jesus is the only way to forgiveness, to the Father, to heaven. Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. No, nothing else. This is it. So really, if you don't get this one right, you say, well, how would I do that? It's not hard. The Bible says believe. Believe. What's that? Well, accept. Trust. You getting it? Faith. Trust. Believe that when God says you're the sinner, you agree with God. Yeah, I know. I know. And that your sin separates you from God. Okay, that's what God says. I'm going to believe that. And that Jesus dies for your sin so that you can be forgiven. I accept that Jesus died for me. I accept that. Okay. I believe that. Yeah. I'm trusting the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Well, then if you believe that, then you just did it. That there's no magic prayer. There's no certain words you have to say. When the Spirit of God convicts you of your need, you give in to that. You agree with God. You say, yes, I know I'm a sinner. Yes, I believe that Jesus died and rose again. Yes, I want him to be my, I receive it. I trust him. I believe it. That, dear friend, is salvation. That's what is called in the Bible of being born again. And guess what? When you meet God, Jesus will be your friend. He'll be your savior. He saves you now, and when you meet him in the future, nothing changes. You settle your eternal destiny right now on earth. So what are you listening to? How are you hearing? What are you doing with the seed, the word of God that's coming in through your ears right now? You're going to accept it in a good heart, in an honest heart, then there will be fruit. No fruit in any of these other categories, none, zero. There'll be fruit, there'll be evidence. Your life will change. You'll never be the same. You'll be thanking God for forgiveness and that you have a wonderful life on earth and the guarantee of heaven with the Lord Jesus. We'll continue these thoughts next week at Family Bible Hour on how to prepare to meet God in 2021. Let's pray. Father, is it possible that someone today is not prepared to meet you? Lord, wouldn't it be something if this day, the third day of January, the first Sunday of this new year, that they simply accepted your plan of salvation. They said, I'm tired of living the way I'm living. I want Jesus to be my savior. I need my life to change. I want to be in God's family. I want to go to heaven. I want a new life on earth. Father, if there's anyone seeking, I'm sure they'll find the Savior today. Encourage them to do so. And for those of us that know the Lord, we're praying, Father, that today someone else will join the family of God. And that as we continue this study, you will even show us as Christians how we need to prepare to meet you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.